Good morning, students. Welcome to chapter 3. The name of the chapter is Interior of the Earth. What do you imagine about the nature of our Earth? Do you imagine it to be a solid ball, like cricket ball, or a hollow ball with a thick cover of rocks? Have you ever seen photographs or images of a volcanic eruption on the television screen? Can you recollect the emergence of hot molten lava, dust, smoke, fire, magma flowing out of the volcanic crater? The interior of the Earth can be understood only by indirect evidence, as neither anyone can reach the interior of the Earth. The radius of the Earth is 6,370 kilometers. No one can reach the center of the Earth and make observation or collect samples of the material. There are two direct sources. The most easily available solid earth material is the surface rock, or the rocks we get from mining areas. These rocks provide a large volume of information. Second direct source is the volcanic eruption form. From there also we get some information. The first point, that is the rocks we get from mining. Gold mines in South Africa are as deep as 3 to 4 kilometers. Going beyond this depth is not possible, as it is very hot at this depth. Scientists world over are working on two major projects. One is deep ocean drilling project. Second one is integrated ocean drilling project. The deepest drill at Kola in Arctic Ocean has so far reached a depth of 12 kilometers. These and many deep drilling projects have provided large volume of information through the analysis of materials collected at different depth. The second direct source is the materials we get from volcanic eruption, as and when the molten material or magma is thrown onto the surface of the earth during volcanic eruption, it becomes available for laboratory analysis. So students, to know about the interior of the earth, we mainly depend on indirect sources. There are five indirect sources. First one is the analysis of properties of matter indirectly provides information about the interior of the earth. Second is the meteors. Third, gravitation. Fourth, magnetic field. And fifth one is seismic activity. So first we will discuss about the first indirect source, that is the analysis of properties of matter. Indirectly, they provide information about the interior of the earth. We know through the mining activity that temperature and pressure increases with increasing distance from the surface towards the interior in deeper depth. It is also known that the density of the material also increases with depth. It is possible to find the rate of change of these characteristics. Knowing the total thickness of the earth, scientists have estimated the value of temperature, pressure, and density of materials at different depth. The second indirect source is the meteors that at times reach the earth. The material that are available for analysis from meteors is not from the interior of the earth. The material and the structure observed in the meteors are similar to that of the Earth. They are solid body developed out of material same as or similar to our planet. Hence, this becomes yet another source of information about the interior of the Earth. The third indirect source is gravitational force. This gravitational force is not same at different latitude on the surface. It is greater near the poles and less at the equator. This is because the distance from the center at the equator being greater than that at the poles. The gravity values also differ according to the mass of the material. The uneven distribution of mass of material within the Earth influence the value. Gravity anomalies give us information about the distribution of mass of the material in the crust of the Earth. The fourth indirect source is magnetic field. Magnetic survey also provide information about the distribution of magnetic material in the crustal portion and thus provide information about the distribution of material in the interior of the Earth. The last indirect source is seismic activity. It is one of the most important sources of information about the interior of the Earth. So from seismic activity, we want to tell about earthquake. So what is earthquake? It is the shaking of the Earth. How it is caused? It is caused due to release of energy, which generates waves that travel in all directions. How does the Earth shake? This should be the question you should ask. The release of energy occurs along a fault. What is a fault? It is a sharp break in the crustal rocks. Rocks along a fault tend to move in opposite direction. As the overlying rock strata press them, the friction locks them together. However, their tendency to move apart at some point of time overcome the friction. As a result, the blocks get deformed. They slide past one another. This causes release of energy. And the energy waves travel in all directions. The point where the earthquake energy is released, that point is called the focus of an earthquake. The energy waves traveling in different directions reach the surface. The point on the surface nearest to the focus is called epicenter. There is an instrument to measure these earthquake waves. The name of that instrument is seismograph. Earthquake waves are basically of two types. One is body wave, another one is surface wave. Body waves are generated due to the release of energy at the focus and move in all directions traveling through the body of the Earth. Hence the name is given as body wave. The body wave travel with the surface rock and generate a new set of wave which is known as surface wave. This wave move along the surface. The velocity of wave changes as they travel through different material. The materials having different density. Denser the material, higher is the velocity. Their direction also changes as they reflect or refract when coming across material with different density. First, we will discuss about the two types of body waves. One is P wave, another one is S wave. P wave move faster and are the first to arrive at the surface. P waves means primary wave, or it is also called longitudinal wave, or it is called compressional waves. These P waves are similar to sound wave. They travel through all the three medium, gaseous, liquid, solid medium. Here the particles move to and fro in the line of propagation of the ray, just like a spring, to and fro in the line of propagation of the ray. P waves travel fastest through solid, though they can also pass through liquid, but their speed comes down. The second type of body wave is called S wave. S means secondary, or it is called transverse or distortional. S wave arrive at the surface with some time lag. These are called secondary waves. An important fact about S wave is that they can only travel through solid material. They cannot travel through liquid. The third type of wave is called surface wave, or they are called long period wave or L waves. This wave generally affect only the surface of the earth and die at smaller depth. Surface waves are considered to be the most damaging waves. What is shadow zone? There are some specific areas where these earthquake waves are not reported. Such zone are called shadow zone. Seismograph located at any distance within 105 degree from the epicenter. They can record both P waves and S waves, primary waves and secondary waves. The seismographs which are located beyond 145 degree from the epicenter record the arrival of P waves but not S wave. A zone between 105 degree and 145 degree from the epicenter is identified as shadow zone for both the types of P waves and S wave. The entire zone beyond 105 degree S waves are not found. The shadow zone of P waves appear as a band around the zone 105 and 145 degree away from the epicenter. So the zone between 105 and 145 from the epicenter, in that particular zone we cannot record P wave or S wave. So that zone is called shadow zone. Next we will discuss the different types of earthquake. The different types of earthquake under this topic, the first type of earthquake is called tectonic earthquake. So these are generated due to sliding of rocks along a fault line. When the large thin plates of the earth crust and the upper mantle become stuck as they move past one another, they lock together and pressure builds up. When they finally release, then earthquake occurs. The second type of earthquake is called volcanic earthquake. It is a type of earthquake caused by the movement of magma beneath the surface of the earth. The movement results in pressure change where the rocks around the magma has experienced stress. At some point, this stress can cause the rocks to break or move. These are confined to the areas of active volcano. The third type of earthquake is called collapse earthquake. These are small earthquakes in underground caverns or mines that are caused by seismic waves produced from the explosion of rock on the surface. In the areas of intense mining activity, sometimes the roof of underground mine collapse, causing minor tremors. These are called collapse earthquake. The fourth type of earthquake is called explosion earthquake. Explosion earthquakes are produced by the detonation of chemical or nuclear devices, like the experimentation of the nuclear bomb in Pokhran in Rajasthan. When a nuclear device is detonated in a borehole underground, enormous nuclear energy is released. The fifth type of earthquake is called reservoir-induced earthquake. The phenomena of dam triggered earthquake, that is known as reservoir-induced seismicity. when a dam is built and the reservoir is filled with water, the amount of pressure exerted on the earth in that area changes dramatically. So these are the five types of earthquake. Next, the magnitude of the earthquake. How do we measure the magnitude of the earthquake? We measure the magnitude of earthquake by a scale which is known as Richter scale. And the magnitude is expressed in absolute number in between 0 to 10. The last topic of this earthquake is effect. What are the effects of earthquake? First effect is ground shaking. The ground starts shaking. Second is differential ground settlement. The third effect is landslide or mudslide. The fourth effect is soil liquefaction. The fifth is ground lurching. Next effect is avalanche in the mountains, avalanche. Next effect is ground displacement. Some places where there are dams, flood occurs, or the levees which are built, the levees break down. In some places, fire breaks out. Then big buildings or flyovers, they break down. That is called structural collapse. Then any things which are kept at a height, they start falling. Or when an earthquake takes place in middle of a sea or an ocean, that leads to tsunami. So students, in the first module, I have discussed with you what are the direct sources to know about the interior of the earth. What are the indirect sources? We mainly depend on the indirect sources because we cannot go deep inside the earth, because inside the temperature is very, very high. We have to depend on the indirect sources, and among the indirect sources, the most important source is the seismic waves. So we have discussed in the first module about earthquakes in detail. We have discussed P waves, S wave, primary waves, secondary waves, and third one is the surface wave. Then I have discussed with you what is shadow zone, where we cannot find both P waves and S wave, a zone where we cannot find both P waves and S wave. Then what are the five types of earthquakes? How do we measure earthquake? What is the scale to measure earthquake? What are the effects of earthquake? In the second module, I will discuss about the structure of the earth. That is, I will discuss with you in detail about crust, mantle and core. With this, I conclude the first module of chapter 3, Interior of the Earth. Thank you, students.